You're listening to the Devi Hour Podcast, part of the RotoHeat.com family of podcasts.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Thursday night. We are into another episode of the Devi Hour. I am Brad Menendez, as always, your fearless leader, along with my main man, my Devi partner in crime, Paul Veldboom. How's it going, brother?
It's almost Friday. I'm ready to discuss football and and murder some fools on COD when we get finished.
Yeah, definitely ready for the weekend. It's been a long non-fantasy football related work week. In my other life, I am a project manager, and we've got a few projects getting ready to go live, so people tend to get stressed out when you get ready to go live, so I've been dealing with a lot of emotional people. So I'm ready to talk football, which is very not emotional. It's pretty cut and dry. This week is going to be an interesting week. We're going to talk about probably one of the more difficult things in Devi, which is trading. And I say difficult because it's kind of the Wild West. You know, everybody kind of has their value system. And so I want to talk through, Paul's been nice enough to wrangle up some different trades that he's observed or been a part of in the last, you know, year or so. And we're going to talk through them, kind of evaluate them. But first, we're going to talk some news and notes. We've got a lot of things going on right now. You know, we've got conferences finally deciding how they're going to work. You know, the Big Ten released their like 10-week-ish schedule with like 6 weeks baked in if they have to move games around. You know, for those of us that are Maize and Blue fans, they did something really dumb and put Michigan, Ohio State in the middle of the season, which, you know, is typically an end of season game. So those of us that like it at the end of the year, we're like, this is dumb, but so be it. It'll be interesting to see if we even make it that far. On the other side of things, the actual news to talk about is we've got a lot of opt-outs going on in college football. Just like we're seeing in the NFL, you've got plenty of players that are deciding, you know what, it's just a little too dangerous. In the college ranks, we have the same thing. We've got players that are going, listen, I'm just going to forego this season and start getting ready for the draft. And I want to talk about and get your opinion on if it's a good move for them. I know I have my opinions on it. So we're going to talk through that. But I'm going to run down the list of the guys that we have as of August 6th at 9:30 p.m. Some of the bigger names, we've got Rashad Bateman from Minnesota, Rondale Moore, wide receiver from Purdue, Micah Parsons, linebacker from Penn State, Gregory Rousseau, defensive end from Miami, Jacob Panusiak, which is a defensive end from Michigan State, Kerry Martin, safety from West Virginia, Cassidy Woods, wide receiver, Washington State, Caleb Farley, the cornerback from Virginia Tech, and then Ravon Bonner, running back from Illinois. I have heard there are other guys, but those are some of the names that I think will be draft eligible that could very well be drafted at some point in the seven rounds of the NFL draft next year. So as we talk about these guys, Paul, what, you know, how do you feel about guys just saying, you know what, I'm just going to start prepping for the draft? What's your take on it? And do you think these guys are all going to be drafting, or guys we're going to see drafted next year?
I'm not overly familiar with, like, the running back you mentioned from Illinois, the receiver from Washington. I'll be honest, I haven't studied. But all the other names, obviously, they're fairly well known. Bateman's probably my receiver two right now overall behind Chase. Yep. I don't think you're going to learn much this year. You will have a couple of them that miss the big games, and you're not going to get the tape that you want. Other ones, you're going to be playing someone that's going to be the janitor in 3 months. You're going to see major schools, probably every major school, playing walk-ons and counting on them for games this season, and that's just going to be throwaway tape. Also, Rousseau, one of the only games I could find was the FSU tape, and that was throwaway tape because the line was horrible. Also, I don't want to hear you argue and say, oh, we get our rival week three. Our rival opted out of our game, so I don't want to hear it. Although I'm thankful that we don't have the loss on the schedule, but that's a different story. I don't have a problem with them looking out for themselves. I think it ultimately hurts them if they go from being the 15th overall to being the 25th or 30th, if I'm an NFL scout and I see the same thing, but I know that this guy just did it and the other one did it 12 months ago, recency bias is going to play out, but I don't have a problem with Bateman more. I'm not a fan of his, but someone else is. I don't have a problem with Rousseau, despite me thinking that his range is wider than what others do. Parsons is probably a first-round lock. If we're saying that Moses is going to be a first-rounder, assuming he doesn't completely stink it up this year, I don't think you can not have Parsons in the first round if we're comping injuries with, I don't know, are we considering this a pseudo-injury? I don't know. I don't think it ultimately hurts them too much. It just, I think they're looking after themselves, and I'm not going to hold anyone's personal decisions over my fantasy roster. If everyone on my main league opts out, hope I have my first next year. I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, and Jason over in our chat makes a good point. You know, Bateman has asthma. So for some of these guys, you know, I didn't mention why they opted out, just that they opted out because, you know, ultimately, just like with the NFL, I respect these guys making these decisions. You know, it's a big move. And especially for our college guys, you know, now you're trusting their tape. And for a guy like Revon Bonner, he's going to have to prove that he's got something more than what the stats show, because in his time in Illinois, he really didn't done anything. You know, he had a couple hundred yards each season, and it's like, in Illinois, you know, if you're good enough, you really should be at the top of the charts and starting. And, you know, he just hasn't proven anything. So he's one of those guys that he's going to have to start working towards showing up big at the combine, because we see it every year. There's a few guys at the combine that just blow everybody away. They're like, oh, we're going to have to draft this guy, you know. But the from Panusiak down, those are kind of, you know, roster fillers, depth guys that may not be fantasy relevant. I mean, obviously, the big names are the top ones. And, you know, and Rousseau, I think there's a wide margin of where he gets drafted, anywhere between 1-3 and 1-10, probably. So I agree with you. It's probably a wide range in the first round that he gets drafted. No, I'm just kidding.
Huge round. Huge round, yeah. I think I said he could be third.
Yeah, I think in one of the chats you said he could be later. But, I mean, with his athletic profile and with his size, and you know, he had, I mean, as a young player, you know, he had, what, like 15 sacks last year or something crazy. And I know that a lot of them came in against some subpar competition. But, you know, you're expecting that. If he's really solid, he should be dominating people. And, you know, we saw that. So I think that him, Parsons, Moore, and Bateman all have first-round consideration. Obviously, things can change because we are still going to attempt to have a college football season. So there are some guys that, you know, that I'm really interested in seeing. I think it'll be big for some of the guys that are injured to have some ability to put tape out this year. You know, so I think Moses and some of these guys aren't going to opt out because they need to prove to NFL teams they're healthy, they're ready to go. Now, if they play the full season, that's different. They may not. They may put a few games together, look really good, and just say, you know what, I'm good. I'm going to back out now. Because, you know, I could see that happening. And I could also see, come flu season, college football just shut it down because guys start getting sick and you don't know what it is. You know, and these college players, I mean, it's in a different world. You know, the NFL, these guys are going to play no matter what because they're getting paid millions to do it. College guys, it looks different. So I think Bateman, Moore, Parsons, and Rousseau are pretty well locked up in the first two rounds. You know, I'd say first two because I don't know that any of them are, there's anybody that's really going to push them out of there. I think they were all smart to do it. You know, I think with Moore and Bateman and Parsons, I don't know that there's really much more they can prove. You know, it's not like they have, I mean, their tape's been really well. And Rousseau's the same. He had a really strong last season. I don't know that there's anything more he could have done this year other than continue to dominate and look, you know, and put up good stats. But, you know, it's hard for me to say that there's really much more any of those guys could have done. So opting out didn't surprise me, and it doesn't change my feelings on them. I think they're all really strong NFL draft prospects.
Yes, I agree. As a general statement, yes.
For sure. So that being said, Let's jump into the meat and potatoes of this episode. So we're going to talk about my favorite thing, which is trading. I love to trade. You know, even in the pinnacle of Devi draft, shout out to Shane and anybody else who's watching from that league. You know, we're trading round 20 and 30 picks. It almost feels like just for the fun of it. You know, I like to trade. I like to find good deals if there's deals to be made. In Devi leagues, I think there's a lot that can be done trading wise. You know, for instance, I'm just going to put out in our XFL league that you and Craig and I and some of the guys are in. I started trading into the fourth and fifth round to grab Devi spots. You know, because this league we have, you could potentially have up to 15 Devi guys. And I noticed that my Devi list was light. I didn't have a ton of Devis. I had, you know, five or six. So I said, you know what? I'm going to see about trying to get back into the fourth and fifth round and just start stashing guys that I like. And I had, I don't know, three or four fourths, three or four fifths, and I just threw a bunch of guys on my team that I'm interested in. That's the fun of a Devi league, is you can do some of these things because some of these guys you're drafting in the fourth and fifth round, some guys in your league may not really know much about. So, you know, trading in Devi is much more interesting, at least in my mind, because you kind of have different lines of thinking. My perspective is if you're a competing team, trade it. Trade anything to make sure that you get that championship, because Devi players aren't guaranteed. That championship could be if you make the right move. So this part of the show, I want to talk about how you value the draft picks versus Devis versus actual NFL players. I want you to give me some of the trades that you put together and have seen happen in your leagues. And let's just kind of have a conversation about that and see where it goes. What is your take, first and foremost, about trading in Devi leagues? And how do you feel about it?
It's a complete crapshoot. You have owners who... they may be rebuilding, but you can get some of their youth if you give them other youth that they want. It's no different than, hey, do you want 1-5 or 1-7 and 2-7? Okay. You're going to see some of that. You're going to have some of the, hey, this guy's on his last legs, let's go find out. I had an offer for JT Daniels this offseason that I'd just rather sit on him as my, and this is in that same league, I'd just rather sit on him for what's being offered right now. I also was on the other side of one of those where I gave up Lorenzo Gilliard. Lingard.
Yep.
He was someone who was thought of as a, you know, one of the top five true freshmen his year, and it's amazing how fast that he just went from someone who was that highly thought of to a trash collector. That's the one per show right there, everybody.
Yeah.
But I was on the other end of that where I just, you know, I'll take 10% of my original investment. On another one, it's actually really funny how this happened because I was not sober when either of these happened. And someone else who's in XFL was with me watching me make these. I traded the 1-5 and the 1-8, which in this league became... shoot, I'm trying to look at which... Rashad Bateman and Kyle Pitts. And then, like, half an hour after that, I traded Brown, and this is a completely separate league. I traded away Brown for Judy and a first. And these were both happening on New Year's Eve this last year for perspective, because there's going to be some of these that I mentioned that you look at in complete hindsight and go, these didn't recently happen. No, I will at least say, okay, this one happened this year, this off season, last season, 2 years ago.
Yeah. So
AJ
so Brown that you can happened. Least... So AJ Brown happened after the season. So he's had a big rookie campaign. Everybody loves him. You traded him for Jerry Jeudy. And what kind of first? Is it like an earlier first, later first?
It's an auction league, but the auction money should be 1/7 to 1/12.
So a late first.
The guy's going to be in the back half, but I thought that that was fine to get a first for, I don't want to say an equal receiver, but it's a super flex league, so the value of the first always head up. I felt that that was fine. Yeah, I drafted Shea Patterson once over Noah Fant. I don't want to hear you look at your head and point at it. That was a smart decision on my behalf right there. So yeah, that was one that didn't work out. I had an offer that I was going to snap accept in April, and it was I give up Dobbins for Drew Lock, and this is a super flex, plus a late first and a late second.
So this and was pre-NFL draft Dobbins, or is this is Ravens Dobbins?
This is April 20th.
Okay, so it's right before the draft, so it's still a true Debbie draft.
Before the draft, okay. I was going to snap accept it, and the guy ended up accepting Chuba Hubbard and not Dobbins. And I went, okay, I guess I'll keep Dobbins, which ended up flipping for CEH and Tremaine Edmonds, but that's a different story. That guy's a clown. I hope he's I hope he listens to this, because he's gonna be on another one of these that I look back at it and go, okay, we're good here.
So before we go any further, so kind of the trend I'm seeing is that if it's a known commodity in the NFL, it's worth a high end Devy plus at least a first round pick. That's kind of what I've been hearing in a lot of these trades that you've been mentioning. So is it safe to say if they're a valuable kind of under 26, 27-year-old NFL player, they're worth at least a fair one and a nice Devy piece? You know, obviously, when you're making that trade for – and I'm going to go back to A.J. Brown again. So you're making the trade for Judy. At that point, college season's over. We know Judy's going to be a first-round pick. So in theory, you're getting two firsts for A.J. Brown. How did you feel about, in hindsight, is that a fair deal in your mind? Because I've seen A.J. Brown go for two firsts in plenty of leagues. QB super flex. I mean, it seems like people fell in love with him, especially after his rookie campaign. How do you feel about a trade like that after the fact?
I feel like it was completely fine. Also, I remember because I wasn't sober, this was the day because they played the day after, and I explicitly wrote in there, I went, he cannot get hurt versus Michigan. Because I remember looking at a chunk of ice and thinking, I could stumble over that drunk. I don't need to see Judy have a Jalen Smith situation here. So we wrote that in there. But I feel completely fine with it just because of the fact that it's a super flex. Because it's an auction super flex, in that league, I will literally have the top three overall selections, and no one can stop me next year. But that's a league specific issue. Another one I saw, and again, this is kind of timing on some of this. I gave up DK Metcalf and Najee Harris for AJ Brown. I made the trade 15 minutes after he ran a 4.38. So Twitter matters. I mean, I don't have it, but you know, quote unquote, the hot seat of Twitter matters. If someone has information, they become the hot commodity super fast. And circling with what you were saying, yes, AJ Brown was the hot thing, but I also knew that, and I'm not huge on Judy, but I knew someone else was, or someone else is, in this league. So I thought, okay, he's a fairly tradable asset, if for nothing else. Also, there's going to be other ones that you look at it and go, okay, how did I accept that? You have to comp everything that you have to the trade market of your rookie selections. If you go, okay, this guy's worth an early third, would you accept an early third and an early second for a late first? Well, I mean, obviously AJ Brown is higher than a late first, but even if you said, okay, he's the 1-4, would you select the 1-4 for the 1-6 or 7 and the 1-12? Let's even say it's the last selection. Okay, I feel fine with that in hindsight. Obviously, it's who you select, what do you use the assets on, but some of these trades are going to be apples to oranges to cars to TVs. You don't know.
Yeah, and there, over in the chat, our boy Craig has a good one. He traded away Baker Mayfield after his rookie season in Superflex for Trevor Lawrence in a first. You know, thinking back to that, so now we're a couple years out from a deal like that, but back then, Trevor Lawrence would have had one really good year and people were super excited about him. That's a fair deal in my mind. I mean, you're trading what should be a nice quarterback in Baker. You know, he's had kind of an up and down so far in his career, but a guy that had potential to be a big player in Superflex for what could be in a few years a big player in Superflex and a one. Like, that's the other part of Debbie that you have to think about. So how long are you sitting on the guy that you're about to trade for, and is his value really worth sitting on him for X amount of years? We know that you know, the golden boy is more than willing to, you know, sit on him for as long as you need to, but getting that first in there with it, I mean, that just makes it even sweeter. So, you know, I've seen people trade Baker for Trevor Lawrence straight up, or offer at least. I don't know if the trade went through, but I saw it in another league that I'm in. And, you know, so what do you think about a deal like that where you're trading a guy who's playing now and potentially, you know, a QB1 in Superflex for potential and a first?
Yeah, I was fine with that. The guy who got Lawrence was not necessarily in it for last year, and this trade happened 12 months ago about. This trade happened not literally 5 minutes after Luck hung him up, but it seems like it in hindsight. The guy who traded for Mayfield had that unfortunate situation happen to him, and he went, okay, I don't really have, I have Luck, and I forget who his other one is. He's pretty solid, but I don't have a legit third, so I'm kind of forced into it. And you're going to see a lot more forced trades when you're in Devy, just because, okay, I hoped that this runner, receiver, whatever position was going to work out. And then you're looking at, you know, Trent Richardson's situations. You don't get to be like, all right, I draft third next year because this didn't work out. There's going to be a high-end running back just sitting there looking me in the face. That's not how Devy works. So there's a lot more forced action in some of these. Also, I remember I gave up DeMarcus Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence. I gave up Trevor Lawrence and DeAndre Swift for Davante Adams and Big Ben. Unfortunately, I gave him up like 5 minutes before he tore his elbow up, but these are the types of moves that you can make to get high end if you get the right guy. And obviously this is a super flex league, so Lawrence's upside is just huge. But you can look at legit second, third round as what you're looking at for the high end stacked devies.
Yeah,
Some of these.
Well, and you know, so it comes back to kind of the conversation that I started, or the piece that I started with in the conversation is like, you know, if your team is competing, don't worry about those picks, because you can easily come back to the back half of the draft and fill your devy spots up. You know, so if you're in a league that has 5 to 15 devy spots, you know, I'm kind of giving it that big range, but you can come back into the fourth and fifth round and pick up a bunch of guys, you know. So in the XFL draft, my team is rebuilding. It was a dumpster fire when I got it from you, and I gave up a bunch to get Joe Burrow. So I got Burrow and Herbert as my two quarterbacks, and I'm rebuilding. So then I bounced back into the back half of the draft to grab some other picks to throw some guys on my roster. Like, if you're a team that's competing or rebuilding, use the back half of your draft to really fill in your devy and grab guys that have upside, you know. And by upside, I think I'll have to pull up my roster. I picked up, like, Nico Collins, I think, was one of the picks. Hold on, I'll just pull it up just to make sure I'm not – my wife tells me all the time that I'm not always good with remembering the order of operations in my situation, so I need to make sure I do it right. So I picked up –
And before you hit that,
yeah,
I will second the whole wherever the end of your draft is, that's the sweet spot of upside. Not necessarily for sure, because it's the back of it, but for sheer upside, that's where you want to hit. I was not the person who hit Jamar Chase in round 4 or 5 of my league last year. Someone hit him in round 4. If you want him now, I believe the trade.
You're paying a lot.
And it's hard because some of these picks get moved after the fact. But I gave up Denzel Mims and let's say the equivalent of a second. For him. Now, Mims, let's say he goes 13, 14, 15 overall this year, but in a normal year, he goes 7, 8, 9 range.
Right.
I'm giving up 7, you know, 8 and a second for someone who I hope sits out a season before he even sees the NFL field.
Yeah.
This is what you're looking at as far as what you're looking at. I remember when Saquon was a junior, he went in the third round of a Superflex startup. When Darnold was his last year, I took him in the late third or early fourth overall in a startup. Now, that one hasn't necessarily worked out, but I've hit some other ones on here that completely made up for it, but if I haven't had a super flex Debbie startup this year, but if we had it in a snake style third round.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so I pulled this one up. So in the 2020, you know, rookie free agent draft we did for this league that you and I and Craig are in, I traded a bunch to get Joe Burrow, and then I had a second-round pick, which I won't mention who I drafted, Kyle Trask, so we'll see. That was probably a bonehead move on my part, but that's okay. I like him. But then I came back into the fourth and fifth round, so I wound up trading for 4 fourth-round picks. In the fourth round, I got Lynn J. Dixon from Clemson. Say what you will about him, but I like his upside, and he's just stuck behind a great running back. I got Bijan Robinson from Texas. I got Nico Collins from Michigan, and I got Charleston Rambo from Oklahoma. All guys in the fourth round. You close your mouth. Rambo don't like your attitude.
I put my thumb up on the ones you didn't see.
Oh, I saw two. I saw two thumbs up and a thumbs down. So obviously I got Paul approved on a couple. And then the fifth round, I wound up trading for 3 picks and got DeMarcus Bowman, who's the young guy at Clemson, Kayshon Booty from LSU, and Michael Mayer, the tight end from Notre Dame, younger guys. So, you know, when you're looking at the fourth and fifth round of your drafts and you know, and later, so this is a 12-team Superflex full IDP. It's, you know, it's a big one. We got a lot of roster spots, a lot's going on. You can come back later in your draft and grab the younger prospects. So, you know, if you look at most of the guys I drafted outside of Rambo and Dixon are guys that are, first, second year players. They're younger prospects because in a lot of your Devy leagues, guys aren't going to be digging deep and looking for the young prospects. So, if you go to, say, your 247s or Rivals or ESPN College Scouting and you look at their kind of top, 100 or 250 or whatever for, 2019, 2020, you're going to see some guys that aren't being drafted in your leagues that were five-star prospects coming in. And, and a lot of what I would do in prepping, I would kind of look and see who those, what schools they went to, if they, and connected. If you see a five-star prospect going to a big school, SEC, Big Ten, whatever the case, you can say, okay, this guy could have potential. Now, unfortunately, they have the most amount of scholarships, so they're bringing in countless kids, and some of them may never even get a chance. But that's kind of the price you pay in Devy. Sometimes you roll the dice and you draft Kyle Trask in the second round, and it just doesn't go well for you, because even though he's a high star prospect, things just don't ever fall right. And that's what you do in Devy. So it ultimately comes back to, where is your team at in roster construction? Did you build a strong NFL squad and you're just kind of taking shots on Devys? Well, don't be afraid to trade those picks to continue to keep that NFL roster strong so you can keep competing for championships. Because ultimately, just because you're doing Devy doesn't mean you don't want to win a championship. Like, I want to win championships, but you have to know your roster. And you have to be more real with your roster in a Devy league than in, a regular super flex or IDP, because you can trade away and do all sorts of movement and fix an NFL roster quickly. We're in Devy, this XFL league, I came into it knowing it's going to be a 3 to 5 year process for me, probably at the minimum, because the roster was just so bad. So you have to know what you're working with, and you have to be honest with yourself and your team, just like in regular fantasy, but even more because it's Devy. What other trades you got, Paul? Let's talk about some more trades and see what we value these guys at.
I watched the number three selection get moved for, it was essentially Justin Jefferson for Sam Howell. And this was after he was with the Vikings. Jefferson for Sam Howell,
Straight up.
essentially straight up.
Okay.
I think there was a fourth or like a they swapped third and fourths. I don't, but that was
Wasn't high in
essentially what
picks.
was it.
Okay.
Yeah, it was Sam Howell for Justin Jefferson, and one guy's not playing for this year. He needs the guy who can throw the ball. One guy who pseudo is gets the guy who's in the pros. Now, Jefferson might not be fantasy this year, but at least he can sit there and go, hey, this guy's in the NFL. Can I trade him for Golden Tate and a third because he's hitting this year or the equivalent of when we get to December? That was one I saw. I had seen Brock Purdy for Zach Moss in one of my leagues. Again, that's a how do you feel about a non-first or second tier thrower for someone who, well, Zach Moss is probably the most polarizing rookie this year. I'm not going to say which side you should be on if you don't have your side by August the 6th. I'm not going to convince you of it.
Yeah, okay,
Another one I.
so well, hold on. Let's go back to the Howell and Jefferson one. So looking at the RotoHeat.com rankings, Sam Howell is QB, was he four? I think he's QB3 or four. One,
Who's
two.
ahead of him besides Fabio?
Yeah,
Oh,
it's
Fields.
Fields and Fabio are
Fabio and
ahead of
Fields.
him. So in our rankings, which I don't believe I have it that way, I think Howell is below Trey Lance, but Trey Lance is below Howell in the consensus RotoHeat.com rankings. Shameless plug, if you're looking for Devy rankings, RotoHeat.com's got them. So in this case, you're looking at what could be a wide receiver two potentially in time for what could be a QB1 2 in time in Superflex. How do you feel about that kind of value proposition?
I'm a huge Sam Howell fan. I'm also a big, pretty big Jefferson fan. I was fine with either side of that, just because the guy who inherited Howell, the prior owner, didn't log on for 12 months and destroyed his franchise, so he gets Howell, because it basically helps him select first again. I was fine with that. Either side of that one, it's the known, but you have a lower ceiling upside, at least from a, hey, this receiver is going to be hitting for me in the NFL for 4, 5, 6 years, might be 8, 10 if you get super fortunate, but let's say 4 or 5 years, or I might get a quarterback who is a true sophomore, but he might give you 15 years. Let's go ahead and find out. I mean, obviously, we're not going to have the answer tomorrow. We'll have the answer by 2025.
Right.
If we have NFL.
Yep.
Come on, they're doctors. Hoping on you.
Yeah, for sure.
But, I mean, we'll see. It's all of... You have to have a fair assessment of risk versus upside. And if you can properly assess upside, and it's at least fair. I have my guys, you can ask me whatever you want and think is a mild overpay. The answer is going to be no, that's just the nature of it. But if you're at least mildly fair with your assessment, and so is the other individual, it's a lot easier swapping some of these when it's a, hey, I need a receiver. I'll give you my top, Devy. Okay, as long as the guy has some tread left, you're not going to be getting hosed with that older receiver. Okay, you gave up Adam Thielen for DeAndre Swift. Actually, I think he got hurt last year, but let's assume he didn't. I get Thielen for somebody who's going to be 4th, 5th, 6th overall. We both hate the landing spot. That's a different situation, but okay, you got Adam Thielen. I need help. I don't have a problem with that, as long as you know, all right, my window's this year, and it might be next year.
Right.
All right, let's go ahead and shoot our shot.
Well,
on the other end of it, if you don't have a shot, just be realistic.
Well, and that's how you have to look at it. You have to figure out, you know, kind of where your team is in its roster development. So, are you aging veterans, or do you have guys that, you know, are the Thielens of the world, which should give you solid production still for maybe another year or two, and you've got a nice strong core that can help get you over the hump. I mean, and that's the tough thing, you know. So, I have Devy leagues where I'm stronger, and I'm okay trading, you know, my first and second round picks to get what I need. You know, in this league, I'm willing to trade, you know, so in your league, I'm willing to trade known commodities, you know, or unknown commodities. So Craig brings up a good trade in the chat. I traded away Darrell Henderson because as soon as Todd Gurley got moved, anywhere I owned Darrell Henderson, I said, hey, he's for sale. Who wants him? And I got Joe Nada and Brevin Jordan. I was like, that's a win-win for me. I love both of those guys. Then I immediately flipped Joe Nada because, well, why not? Because I'm not afraid to make the move if I think I'm getting good value there. You have to know what your team is working with. You know, you have to know, it comes back to ultimately you have to be honest about what your franchise is. And unfortunately, too many people that I play in leagues with overthink their roster and think the guys are worth more than they really are, you know, and it's harder to do that in Devy because as great as these guys are in college, you know, and the perfect example is a guy like Tebow. He was great in college. He gets to the league and it just doesn't do anything for you, you know, and good college players or great college players don't always make great NFL players. You know, obviously everybody thinks Fabio is pretty much a lock, but outside of that, everybody's got differing opinions on some of these big guys. You don't really care for Justin Fields that much. I think Justin Fields is really good. You know, you're a big Journey Brown fan. I think he's not bad. I think he's definitely solid. You know, and those are that's kind of the consensus with people is everybody's kind of got their group of guys. So ultimately, the end of your at the end of your trades and your drafts and all these things, as long as you're happy with your roster construction, I don't knock it, especially in Devy. You know, people, I get tons of direct messages on Twitter and other places, people asking me what I think about their roster. I'm like, dude, are you happy with it? Because when it comes to Devy, it could be a crapshoot. You know, just because I value a guy one way doesn't mean he's going to be that way. I mean, we went through, so as a Roto Heat team this offseason, we went through and started doing the 2020 rookie class. We all put together our rankings, and we recorded a bunch of clips and put them up on YouTube about how we value guys, and we all had differing opinions. Some of us loved guys like Anthony McFarland. Some of us thought those guys that loved Anthony McFarland were crazy. I mean, it's just, it's a crapshoot, you know. And then their landing spot in the NFL makes that even more difficult. You know, people love Van Jefferson or they hate Van Jefferson. And people love Van Jefferson because he went to the Rams, and they think he can kind of be the next man up when Robert Woods is gone, and you know, and things like that. And it's like, well, but did you look at the player? Does the player have the talent to succeed in the NFL, or were they just, you know? And that's kind of where you have to value proposition ultimately.
If we're having these discussions on April 20th, imagine having the conversation 2 years out. That is essentially what this is like. You are spinning a roulette wheel, and you're betting on the number five in front of where you're spinning.
Right.
Just be somewhat honest about it. Like, okay, I think DeAndre Swift is going to be a first rounder, at least for your
fantasy draft, yeah.
Yeah, at least in a fantasy draft. Okay, is he going to be the 1-1 lock? Is he going to be 1-2? Is he going to be a mid-first or a late-first? And just be like, just make it somewhat honest with the other guy. I've had some of these I've completely hit on. I also sold CeeDee Lamb off-season for not nearly as much as I could have now.
Right.
You win some, you lose some. You can't look at it and go, oh, I woulda, shoulda, coulda, because we're going to sit here and go, maybe the first or second round is a little overhyped. Go into your fourth and fifth. The odds that you hit on the fourth or fifth round is going to be low, but also the price to get them is also
quite low.
And you just have to be honest with yourself. Hey, am I someone who in my rookie drafts, do I need that top five selection? Or am I someone who would rather select twice at the end of the first? And you just have to have like a sliding scale down for Devy.
Right.
On some of these.
Well, you know, and for the high-end Devy prospects, I'm okay with saying, all right, I kind of see their value as a solid NFL player. If, you know, if I'm trading one of these Devy players, I'm okay with trading them for a guy that I think is solid NFL-wise, or, you know, a couple of other Devy picks. So when we look at Roto Heat's rankings, you know, the top kind of 12 guys, I'm just going to throw the names out, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Ja'Marr Chase, Rondale Moore, Rashad Bateman, Travis Etienne, Chuba Hubbard, Jalen Waddle, Amon Ross St. Brown, Devonta Smith, Tylan Wallace, Justin Ross. Now, obviously, these rankings will be updated this weekend, so that'll change, you know, at least Ross and probably even some of these other guys. I don't know why they would be so high, but it doesn't just go based on my rankings. There are multiple guys that rank them. You know, so those are your top 12 guys in theory based on our rankings. If somebody says, hey, I want to trade for Jalen Waddle, you know, and I've gotten him in the first round in drafts in plenty of leagues, I want at least a first plus. You know, I want, because I think he's going to be a first or second round prospect, I would like a first and, you know, a late second or an early third. And then I start to feel like we're moving in the right direction. You know, when you're trading a Devy just for picks, the trade looks different than if you're trading a Devy for an actual NFL player or another Devy player. You know, you have to kind of you have to weight the trade based on what they're offering you and what they're looking to offer. So if you're getting a person that's trading you a Devy for Devy or a Devy for picks, what do you how do you rate that and how do you counter it? So I offer you, you know, 112 for you know whatever your number two or three receiver on your list is. How do you rate that trade? And what do you do with it?
I think this is more of a league-specific situation.
Mm-hmm.
I have leagues where the 112 is worth the 112. I have leagues that the 112 is worth the 16. I have leagues where the 112 is the 305. You have to see how deep your league is. In the XFL one that we're discussing, again, you can hold 15 on this roster.
Yep.
That's one of the 112 is probably like the 208.
Yeah, and 112. Yeah, so 112 in this draft, just for everyone to know where we're at. The team took Jamie Newman, quarterback Georgia. And before that, you know, I mean, obviously Joe Burrow was available, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Sam Howell, Justin Jefferson, Rashad Bateman, Trey Lance, Breece Hall, Kyle Pitts, Journey Brown, Brandon Ayuk, Denzel Mims, and then Jamie Newman went at the 112.
And then in the second round of this, in the second round we had, we'll just hit on some of the NFLers. The top half of the second round you had Van Jefferson. He was probably heading in the late second, early third. Maybe you hit him before we realized he was with L.A. I almost said St. Louis. Before we realized that that was a nicer landing spot, and you got him in the fourth round. Isaiah Simmons, shameless plug, tune in Mondays. Kenneth Murray, shameless plug, tune in Mondays. But the rest of the second round goes A.G.G. He was probably in the fourth round. Maybe third. Queen. Tune in Mondays. I took Antonio Gibson. Two nines about where he went in the actual NFL. But again, this is before we probably fully processed landing spots and stuff. And then the last one was 211 Darrington Evans.
Yeah.
And that he was probably going 211 to 305. So in some of these, you have to know what you're looking at. I've seen leagues where the 1-3 or where, like I said, the 1-6 pick is the 1-3 pick because you can select in the future and you can select a Saquon. And maybe you don't know what Saquon's going to end up as, and you end up taking somebody else. I don't remember who the hot rookie was. The year before it was the Cook, CMC, Kamara. Would you, how do you slot Saquon into that? I mean, it's easy in hindsight,
right?
But looking ahead is where it becomes really hard. And yes, we're the ones on the show. If we had all the answers, we wouldn't be on here. We'd be taking all your money in Las Vegas.
We'd be actual NFL scouts if we had all the answers.
Yeah, I would be owning a franchise and be making every NFL selection, and just be like, you know what? I have all the answers. No, we don't.
All right. You know, these are a lot of the, you know, so some of this has seemed like we're kind of going on tangents, but these are a lot of the conversations you have to figure out in the midst of deciding trade value. You have to think about not only how you see the player, but how you project them moving forward. You know, do you see them as a high NFL prospect? Because remember, so if it's a quarterback that's in Superflex and he goes in the first or second round, he's going to be a high one in your Superflex draft. You know, if it's a running back that goes in the first or second round, he's probably going to be a high one in your rookie draft. Wide receivers, same, you know, any of these guys are going to be early first round picks in your rookie drafts. So you have to slot that value likewise when you're making a trade with somebody. You know, whether you like the player or not, they're just, those are the conversations you have to work through in your head. to decide on making that trade. Now, we make it out to be a big thing. It's not a big thing. If you screw up a trade, well, just make another one till you fix it. So yeah, and that's and that's how that works. But ultimately, I will continue to plug our team. We do a really good job having conversations and trying to properly rank guys and do all that. So, join the Discord server. We have a Discord server. If you go to rotoheat.com, you get the info. Join the Facebook community. Paul is one of the admins over there on Facebook. Ask your Devy questions, get your Devy answers. The great thing is that yes, we do fantasy football, and yes, I play in a ton of different leagues, but I'm not afraid to show my hands. I don't really care so much. People know how I value guys. It just is what it is. If I want a guy bad enough, I'll go get my guy. So that we're not afraid to be open and honest and transparent about where we value guys. So have the conversation. As we wrap this episode up, there's so much more that we could talk about when it comes to valuing trades, but it's just continuing to have different thoughts and how do you value a Devy from the bigger schools, the SEC, Big Ten, Pac-12, some of those, instead of guys in smaller conferences. You see the North Dakota State University producing quality NFL quarterbacks here lately. Well, how do you value that? I mean, there's a lot of conversations you can have and a lot of different ways you can value guys in your trade. So join us. If you have listened this long over on YouTube or on the podcast, we really do appreciate and love each and every one of you guys for hanging out with us. We have a good time doing this. We're not paid to do this. We enjoy having these back and forth conversations. This is a fun community. We enjoy helping you guys and making you successful. So we are going to wrap it up. Paul, do you have any other final thoughts before I do our final sales pitch and close this bad boy out?
Oh, sure. You said that you love everyone there. Side little nugget for everyone watching. When he was inheriting the orphan last year, and we said, hey, hit on the large school, and then the small school guys are just a complete crapshoot. I think it was the fifth round last year that I took you, or I selected for your orphan, Jordan Love. Now, if you're a Bears fan, you don't like the Packers, you think that Jordan Love is horrible, whatever the situation is. Hey, I'm a Packer fan. I wasn't overly fond of the selection. We'll see if I'm right. We'll see if I'm not. In the fifth round, you can now get a decently high first in a normal year. This is the upside you could have on some of the fourth and fifth rounders if you cash in even now before he plays a snap in the league.
Yeah.
So yes, we love our listeners.
With that being said, we are here to help. The Devy Hour is live every Thursday night over on YouTube and Facebook, 9:30 Eastern Time. The podcast tends to drop Friday mornings, somewhere before noon. If you have questions, hit me up on Twitter at RotoHeat Brad, at RotoHeat Fantasy is the main tag on Twitter. Find us on Facebook. You can talk to Paul and I there in Discord. We're over there. At Roto or RotoHeat.com is the main source of all things. And we have our Devy rankings. Jason Eldred and myself put out a lot of individual player outlooks for Devy specific guys. We can talk about how we project them and how we see them. So join us. Let's keep the conversation going. Thank you for everybody who's been subscribing over on YouTube. We're almost at the 1,000 mark. So make sure you jump over there, like, subscribe, and do all those things. And we will talk to you again next.
Thanks for listening to the Devy Hour Podcast. Don't forget to check us out on rotoheat.com or on YouTube at rotoheat.